This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos. All this week, we've been bringing you the news-making headlines from the Wall Street Journal's annual WSJ Tech Live conference held in Laguna Beach, California, as well as onstage interviews from the event. During the final session at the conference, Slack co-founder and CEO Stuart Butterfield sat down with our global technology editor Jason Dean to reflect on life as a public company and the future of collaboration at work. We'll have part of that conversation coming up, but first, these tech headlines. Democratic senators are asking the Federal Trade Commission to investigate Amazon over the hack of Capital One consumer data, one of the biggest ever heists of such banking records. In a letter dated Thursday, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, the top Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee, and presidential candidate Senator Elizabeth Warren, said Amazon failed to protect its customers from a known security issue on its cloud computing system, where Capital One Financial stored the information. They're concerned the company ignored warnings about a security vulnerability that enabled the hack. The letter says the issue had been reported a year earlier, and the FTC should review if the company's failure to address it should be classified as a quote-unquote unfair business practice that violates federal regulations. Tesla posts a surprise profit in the third quarter. The electric car maker reported adjusted earnings of $1.86 a share this week, well above analysts' expectations. The company said in a news release that the, quote, fundamental improvements in our operating efficiency, end quote, boosted profits. In addition, Tesla was able to recognize a large chunk of cash previously collected from customers as revenue, thanks to the release of its, quote, unquote, smart summon autonomy feature in September. Total sales of $6.3 billion, however, were slightly below analyst expectations and fell 8% from a year earlier. That's Tesla's first annual sales decline since 2012. Coming up, the CEO of Slack talks about life as a public company and the future of collaboration at work. Fresh from its direct listing, Slack joined several tech companies making their way into the public market in recent months. Co-founder and CEO Stuart Butterfield sat down with the Wall Street Journal's global tech editor Jason Dean to discuss the challenges of life as a public company. Slack's stock price is down 45% since the opening close, and on stage at WSJ Tech Live, Butterfield shared his assessment of how Slack stacks up as a public company in the face of a volatile market.
You know that saying, in the short term, the market's a voting machine, in the long term, it's a weighing machine. So I think there's definitely some stuff going on that has to be worked out in the market, especially with respect to newly public companies. But we think back to a little over a year ago, we did our last round as a private company. Now it's about twice the price. So public markets value us a little bit more highly than private markets did. But this is an environment that's really unprecedented. You know, the 10, 11 year run, even just from the beginning of the year to the time we went out in June, was S&P was up 15%, NASDAQ was up 20%. So it's just historically an anomalous period.
Slack's success has led to increased competition. Butterfield explained how the company aims to maintain an edge against bigger tech giants with more resources.
We are expanding around the world. We have a huge presence in Japan, our second biggest market. I just got back from there. Last week, I was in Europe, opening offices in Munich and Paris, and then in London for our user conference. And there's still a lot of people choosing Slack, despite the fact that they have Teams bundled in for free. Something that gives a little bit of comfort is if you look at that picture, pretty famous one of Microsoft in 1977 when they were still in Albuquerque and they're all hippies, if you imagine them like 5 years later finessing around IBM, so what was then the biggest and most powerful company in the world, or kind of Google escaping Microsoft's crosshairs at a time when Microsoft had 90%+ share of operating systems and 90%+ share of browsers, who literally controlled the whole world's access to the internet and had Hotmail and MSN. And Google was still kind of unfettered, or Google going after Facebook 7 years later, all the push in YouTube, getting people to use Google Plus and in Gmail, and the only time that Google's ever promoted somebody on the homepage. And so the lesson we take from that is often the small startup with real traction with customers has an advantage versus the large incumbent with multiple lines of business. Because you look at Office 365, it's one sale, but it's Skype for Business, Outlook, Yammer, SharePoint, Office 365 groups, and now Microsoft Teams. And while I'm sure that any Microsoft employee would rather have people using Teams than Slack, I don't think that they're all in harmonious alignment with one another. I think they're in a zero-sum competition for prestige and power and compensation inside the organization.
Stuart Butterfield also spoke about the challenges of global adoption, what he says is a crucial measure for the company's success.
It still almost exclusively starts out, like I said, I was in Japan, NEC or Kaiser Permanente or Vanguard here in the US. It's individual kind of work groups. Like some one person says, hey, we should check this out. And they get two or three of their colleagues and then five or eight or 15 people are using it. And that happens over and over again across the company. It's actually up, I don't think we have logo rights for this customer, but up in Seattle with a customer of 70,000 people using it, and at the reception, we gave kind of an event with them. One of the employees came up and said, I was the first person to be using Slack inside of our company, and he kept on getting his corporate card limit increased until he was paying about $35,000 a month on his corporate card, and then it got handed over into the like official sales process. So it's still, like I would say, more than 95% of even our large enterprise customers are coming in that way. But we have 100,000 customers. So obviously, like at most 500 could be in the Fortune 500. There's an enormous variety of organizations around the world of all sizes.
That wraps up our week of coverage from WSJ Tech Live. For more from the week's big tech conference, head to WSJ.com. This has been the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.